And you're listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. I am Fran Storch, and you are about to hear Radio Naturopath.
The Wyndham Region No Freeze Hospitality Center provides a shelter in these colder months for homeless residents in our area. The shelter provides an overnight shelter for persons 18 and older from November 15th through April, and no person will be turned away. Visit us weekdays from 1 to 4 p.m. at 75 Bridge Street in Willimantic, or visit our website at WyndhamNoFreeze.com to see how you can help. This is WHUS Storrs.
Hey there, this is Vladimir Putin, Emperor of Russia, and you are listening to 91.7 WHUS Storrs. Go Huskies!
All right, guys, we got to let them know what we're all about. Who are we?
91.7.
What do we got?
Music.
How often do we got it?
24/7, 365.
What else we got?
Talk, sports, news, everything.
Why is that?
Because we're WHUS.
What's that? Who are we?
WHUS.
Say it again.
91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, UConn Sound Alternative.
All right, you're listening to Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM. I am Fran Storch. This is the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm a naturopathic physician, and I have a co-host. His name is Ron Meniza.
Good morning.
If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. I've got my Gmail up, and I would love to take your questions. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at www.whus.org. Go to the talk header and click on Radio Naturopath. You can also check out my Facebook page, Fran Storch ND, Naturopathic Physician, Radio Naturopath, and on Twitter and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. All right, so we've been going through the alphabet, and we're up to the letter E. So today, this
right,
show...
Right, we did the D's last week.
Yes, today this show is brought to you by the letter E. And today is September 4th, 2017.
It's 10-4, good buddy.
It is 10-4, good buddy, and that means it's Johnny Marion's birthday.
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, Johnny Marion.
Happy birthday, Johnny
Marion. Yes, he's hanging out in the early 40s. Yeah, so he's having a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good deal. And I remember going to that boy's 30th birthday party.
They get older.
I've been here a long time. What can I say? I've been in this area.
You've been here longer than anywhere else.
Than dirt. No,
almost.
I haven't. Well, I've been practicing medicine here longer than anywhere else, but no, I have not lived in Connecticut. Let me see. So I moved to Connecticut in 1999, and it is 2017, which means that I've lived here, 18 years, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that is not as long as I lived in New Jersey. I was in New Jersey for 21 years. But we're getting there. We're getting close. And I was back in New Jersey this weekend.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, it was fun. I was Aunt Fran. It was fun.
You were. You were playing with your nephews. You were having a good time.
Yes.
And wearing them out.
Wearing them out. Yes. Big shout out to Harry Tallymiller. So I have advice for you. If your kids are acting up and they're they seem cranky and stuff, run them. Take them outside and let them play. Find the best playground you can find and let them run around and do what they want in the playground. I mean, you can keep an eye on them if you want to. But I wonder if the kids are getting cranky and restless and you're keeping them indoors, it could be that you're not letting them outside.
You got to run those thoroughbreds.
You got to run those thoroughbreds.
You do. It makes a difference.
They crashed like crazy at, I didn't take them to the playground that day, but I did run them around on Saturday too, and they crashed like thoroughbreds. It was pretty funny. So run your kids.
Run them hard.
Run them hard.
Run them hard. Yeah.
So,
you got it.
So here we are in the alphabet. I think before we go further, we should probably give some voice to some of the things that are going on in the world. One of the things I wanted to just go over is how terrible it is that we had a mass shooter in Las Vegas.
Oh.
That this person, you know, he punched out the windows in the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay and then was able to use automatic weapons to take out a lot of people. You know, there's so like at least 500 people were wounded and around 60 have died. There were a lot of acts of heroism, but this shouldn't be happening. And this guy had fully automatic weapons, which means that he probably got semi-automatic weapons and got booster kits.
He modified them, yeah, because there's still legal modification out there, so you can modify them. There's a good news to the story.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Mm.
Yeah, they're sort of suspending the silencer law that the Republicans are trying to push through right now.
Right.
To allow silencers on weapons. Why do you need silencers on weapons?
Why do you need weapons?
To sneak up and kill people.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Give me another darn good reason why, other than it hurts your ears.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I said it. I shouldn't say it.
I don't understand why we need to. I mean, the semi-automatic weapons should not be available to the general public, even.
It's a good alternative to a chainsaw if you want to cut a tree down.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it makes you wonder about chainsaws, too, but we're not going to go there. Anyway, so that was horrible. And then what I want to do is I want to be a media outlet who is giving voice to Puerto Rico. What's going on in Puerto Rico is probably the worst thing that's going on in this country right now. And I'm appalled by the lack of media coverage that they're covering Las Vegas every single day. And I haven't heard anything about Puerto Rico today.
No, and I can tell you that I've heard from Puerto Rico because I have friends who live in Puerto Rico who were able to somehow magically tap into some mystery phone line and call me this week, a couple of days ago. And I've received some firsthand information about what's really going on in Puerto Rico. And what we're seeing in the media is nowhere near what is really going on in Puerto Rico right now.
What's really going on? Talk about that.
Well, what's really going on is that we're being, they're showing us these huge piles of cargo ships with, you know, containers that need to be distributed throughout the island to get all the relief out there. But what they're not telling you is there's no way to get the relief to the other parts of the island because there's two reasons on this. One, the roads are blocked in many places because the vegetation in Puerto Rico was literally stripped out of the earth and strewn all over the place. 180 mile an hour winds will do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the people who drive the trucks, the truck drivers, the employed truck drivers, don't want to go to work. Well, first of all, they can't get a call to go to work because there's no way of communicating with them. So they don't even know that they could be there doing this, and B, those that have been approached and asked to come into work won't leave their homes and families because they're guarding their homes and their families with their lives right now because there's so many people looting and wreaking havoc in Puerto Rico because people are starving.
Right.
They're starving and desperate times, desperate measures. That's what's going on. So what we really need, should anyone be listening, is we need the National Guard badly, like really badly in force, like tens of thousands to fix the problem down there.
I'm just amazed at that we're not hearing anything. Puerto Rico is devastated and we don't know what's going on.
And my friends, Scott and Jean, shout out to them, although they can't hear this because they have no way of hearing anything because all the towers are down. There's no way you can hear anything. So big shout out to them. They're just basically kind of bunkering down at night because the island goes dark at night. There are no lights.
Right.
And that's when people are you know, pillaging the place.
Right.
Because their families are starving. So they're doing whatever they have to do to get food and water and gasoline and on and on and on. And it's just, it's frightening what's going on down
and
there
And the speech that was recorded by the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulin Cruz.
Three
was
thumbs up to her. Not two, three.
Was heartbreaking. She's begging for assistance, and she said that people were dying.
She's right.
And Lord Voldemort over there called her out. He who shall not be named. It was a horror. I'm sorry if you're a supporter of the so-called president, but I have lost all respect for him. I mean, if I had any in the first place.
I was going to say, when did you have some?
Exactly. I mean, but this was really bad where he called out this woman. This woman is begging for the lives of her people.
Right.
And
they're desperate. They're really in a bad place.
And he's
right
angry
now.
that she's not happy with him.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me.
Well, he's also, he has made some racist slurs towards Puerto Rican people. He has, he said that they're lazy and that's why they're not getting anything done down there.
So when they
heard. He actually made a racist comment about Puerto Ricans that is like from, 50, 60 years ago.
Why is he still president?
And it's like that he encourages it in our country. He really does.
And there are photos coming out of there. There's a photo of children clearing their street.
Right.
And there's a photo of that mayor who wasn't in Bedminster playing golf.
Waist deep in water.
Yes, wading through to help people. Yeah, I know. So our hearts go out to Puerto Rico. Anything you can do to support Puerto Rico would be wonderful. I'm actually sitting here thinking, is there a way I can get down there and help? I don't know what I could do. But
well, according to the media, you can fly into the San Juan Airport. But according to my friends, you can get into Aguadilla, too.
So anyway, I wanted to do a shout out to that. It's very frustrating. It's very hard to hear about what's going on, and I feel very hopeless and frustrated. But there are relief efforts going on, and there are people who are in power, and people who are being supportive, and there are people who are celebrities who are actually doing things to help, and among them Jennifer Lopez, which you would expect. I expected I would pull up Jennifer Lopez, and she's doing things to support relief efforts, as is Lin-Manuel Miranda and Pitbull, who is actually Cuban, but still, Latino, Caribbean. He wants to help too, has the means, has the leverage, so he's helping out as well. So that's exciting to hear. All right, so I'm going to go on to the letter of the week, and we want to talk about vitamin E today. So vitamin E is a beautiful antioxidant. It's so good for you, and it's so good for so many things. So let's talk about what is vitamin E. So vitamin E is one of the things it is an antioxidant. It's found in a lot of foods. Vitamin E has a chemical name. It's not exactly a chemical name. It's sort of a chemical name. It's not the full organic chemistry name, but it's known as D-alpha-tocopherol. And D-alpha-tocopherol is what is synthesized by plants. So you're going to find vitamin E in things like nuts and seeds and plant oils and avocado and kiwi fruits. So vitamin E is synthesized by plants, but you can get vitamin E synthesized. So if you have a vitamin E supplement, obviously if in your car, don't do anything. Just keep driving your car and be safe. But if you're at home and you want to go grab your bottle of vitamin E or your multivitamin that contains vitamin E, I invite you to look at it. So if your vitamin E says on it DL, alpha-tocopherol, it is synthesized. So this is an interesting thing. Let's see if I can explain this in an easy-to-understand way. Okay, so organic chemistry is very interesting, and biochemistry is very interesting. So when you create compounds in a lab, when you synthesize compounds in a lab, you have ways of looking at these compounds. Organic compounds have what you call an empirical formula. An empirical formula means it's going to tell you about how many of each type of atom is in it. So, say you have a sugar. The sugar is going to be, for example, C12 H22O11. And that tells you that there are 12 carbons, 22 hydrogens, and 11 oxygens in that sugar. So that's a sugar. But it doesn't tell you anything about how the sugar is arranged in space. So you can have an empirical formula of a compound, but depending on how they're arranged in space with respect to each other, you can have five different compounds. So that's really interesting how it works. So it gets even deeper when you get into biochemistry, because receptors are very fussy. And receptors, you know how you have a right hand and a left hand? Your right hand is not your left hand, and they're not even exactly the same as each other. And they, And even though you have symmetry in that you have a right and a left hand, they're not exactly the same. And if you were to try to hold something with your right hand, it wouldn't occur in exactly the same way as your left hand because they're not the same animal. But so this is the thing. When you synthesize organic compounds in a lab, some compounds have they have left and right sided versions of each other. They're mirror images of each other. This was first discovered with a compound called tartaric acid. Somebody noticed that if you put tartaric acid in solution, and you put and you separate it out, the two types of tartaric acid, half of the tartaric acid would spin light in a certain direction with a polarimeter, and the other half would spin it in the other direction. So that was figured out. And then and they also figured out that the reason it did that was because the tartaric acid, the two types of tartaric acid were mirror image. They were exactly the same, but they're mirror images of each other. That happens when you synthesize those organic compounds in a lab. In nature, nature is wild because what nature, it's actually not, maybe it's the tartaric acid, maybe it's the lab that's wild. Because in nature, what nature does is nature is fussy and it wants the compounds to be either one image or the other, not both. So the two types of tartaric acid that's synthesized in nature only goes in one direction. And in fact, in nature, vitamin E, the way vitamin E is synthesized, the D-alpha-tocopherol is the one that's synthesized in nature. You also have L-alpha-tocopherol, which when you synthesize vitamin E in a lab, you're going to get the L-alpha-tocopherol as well. And what happens is when you synthesize it in a lab, you get 50-50 of the two types of vitamin E. So let's break down what this means. So D-alpha-tocopherol, what that means is dextrorotatory. It means that there's a central carbon called the chiral carbon, and that the molecular pieces are arranged around it in ascending order from right to left. And the L type, they're arranged in ascending order from left to right, so clockwise, counterclockwise. And then if there's a plus or a minus, it's going to spin light in a polarimeter. So if it's a minus, it's going to spin the light counterclockwise. And if it's a plus, it's going to spin it clockwise in solution. So you have so when you have DL alpha tocopherol, it has been synthesized. You have half and half mirror images of the two vitamin E's. The L alpha tocopherol your body doesn't want, doesn't care about it, and it might as well not be there because it can't attach to anything. So this is the interesting thing about vitamin E. It's an antioxidant. So what the heck is an antioxidant anyway? An antioxidant is something that has that easily has electrons to spare and can pick up electrons and regenerate itself or be regenerated by other compounds. So that's what an antioxidant is. So what happens is inside of your body has metabolic processes all the time. You're always breaking down and building up tissue. And, you know, you're always, like right now, I'm sitting here talking to you, so I've got a lot of activity going on in my lungs and in my larynx. All those things are very metabolically active right now. So in order for all of this to happen, there's all kinds of metabolic activity that's happening, and I'm getting oxidative damage to my larynx and my lungs right now. And so my body, because it's functioning normally, is able to repair that. And so the oxidative damage is buoyed up by all the antioxidant systems in my body, the ones that are indwelling as well as the antioxidants I have eaten. So there's vitamin E in my blood, there's vitamin C in my blood, there's carotenoids, there's all kinds of stuff in my blood that's helping to build and repair as I'm doing damage to my voice by talking to you right now. So these antioxidants, what they do at a very, very basic atomic level, they're donating back electrons so you can repair and rebuild cells that have the electrons taken off as part of metabolic processes. Of course, if you're exposed to extreme oxidative stress, whether you're doing extreme exercise, if you've had an injury, if you're exposed to chemicals in the environment, if you're exposed to radiation in the environment, you can get oxidative damage that way. And so if you consume antioxidants, those are going to help you to regenerate faster. So vitamin E is a good example of an antioxidant. So anyway, because vitamin E, when it's synthesized, it's DL-alpha-tocopherol. The L-alpha-tocopherol is not active in your body, but it's still an antioxidant, and it can be donating electrons, but it's not going to bond to the receptor, so it's not doing you a lot of good. Whereas vitamin E, you have receptors in your body that will accept it, and then it can get into tissues, and it can do a lot more work for you. The vitamin, the L-alpha-tocopherol is going to float around, and it's going to be generated and taken from, but there's nowhere for it to latch onto, so that's not really a good situation in the body. So it's a good idea to not use DL-alpha-tocopherol. If you buy vitamin E, it's better to use D-alpha-tocopherol, and it should have mixed tocopherols in it. Mixed tocopherols mean it's going to have beta-tocopherol and gamma-tocopherol, and the important thing with antioxidants is antioxidants, if they're all by themselves, they will donate, but then they themselves present free radical liability when they donate their electrons. So the alpha and gamma, the gamma tocopherols and the beta tocopherols will donate electrons back and cycle the electrons so that you get less oxidative damage from the alpha tocopherol. If you pair vitamin E with vitamin C, the vitamin C and vitamin E can exchange electrons with each other and you get more antioxidant benefit. So this is very interesting. So first of all, if you're going to take a vitamin E supplement, it's a really good idea to take vitamin E with mixed tocopherols in it. Because first of all, if it has mixed tocopherols in it, it is likely that it's not synthetic. You really can't synthesize mixed tocopherols. So then there's the next thing. There is a synthetic vitamin E that's important that I do recommend sometimes, and that's vitamin E succinate. So vitamin E succinate is interesting. It's attached to a molecule or a piece of a molecule that is part of the Krebs cycle. The Krebs cycle is part of all of the energy systems in our bodies. So vitamin E succinate becomes important if you have cancer. So the neat thing about vitamin E succinate is that cancer cells are very metabolically active. They metabolize at a very fast rate. That's part of what makes them so scary. So if they're looking for your Krebs cycle, they're looking for your cells, and they're looking to hijack your cells and your cellular processes so they can do their nefarious metabolic processes. So if you take vitamin E succinate, antioxidants in general destroy cancer cells and destroy cancer properties because cancer cells do oxidative damage. That's part of how they work. And if you throw a bunch of antioxidants at them, you foil their nefarious plots. So if you have vitamin E succinate, the cancer cell is going to look at it and go, succinic acid, I like that. I want to have some of that for my energy. But hoo-ha, the cancer cell takes up that succinate, and little does it know that vitamin E is attached to it and hiding behind it. So the vitamin E gets into the cell, and it foils the oxidative damage of the cancer cell. So the cancer cell takes up the succinate, and then the vitamin E is there, and it does its number on the cancer cells. The other thing that antioxidants do, it's not just that they cause, that they help with free radical damage. They help with healthy gene expression. So if you introduce vitamin E to a cancer cell, that is certainly an example of unhealthful gene expression. And when the antioxidant goes on board, it helps to the gene to express itself more normally, so that the cancer cell can't survive. So if you foil the unhealthful gene expression, cancer cell can't do its thing, and then you get a condition called apoptosis. I think it's apoptosis. It's a Greek word, and it's supposed to be said apoptosis. Anyway, apoptosis is a word that means the breakdown of a cancer cell or breakdown of a cancer tumor. You know, death of a tumor or falling apart of a tumor, which is a good thing. You want that. If you have a cancer tumor, you want that to go away. All right. So so that's basically what an antioxidant is. Now, vitamin E has a lot of benefits. It has a lot. There's a lot of things.
I have a whole list here.
Yeah, me too. So I have a list. One of the things that vitamin E is helpful for is cholesterol levels. That's on the top of my list. Yeah. So a couple of the ways that it helps with cholesterol levels, it's not just that it helps to lower cholesterol, which it does, but it also helps to prevent cholesterol oxidation. So even if your cholesterol is elevated, if your elevated cholesterol by itself, by the way, is not such a big deal. You need cholesterol for every cell in your body. Cholesterol is part of all of your cell membranes. Cholesterol is a precursor to all of your steroid hormones, which means your cortisol, which gives you which allows you to do stuff like do anything, and also all of your reproductive hormones, your testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. They all have cholesterol as a precursor. So cholesterol is important, and so what you want some cholesterol around. If your cholesterol is too low, you can't have good hormonal function. That's why it makes me crazy when I see these, you know, commands for cholesterol. You want your LDL cholesterol to be below 100, below 70. What's that about? If the cholesterol is not oxidized, it's useful. So anyway, so oxidized cholesterol, if you have an LDL of 112 and your cholesterol is largely oxidized, that's much more dangerous than if you have a cholesterol, an LDL of 130 and it's not oxidized at all. So anyways, vitamin E helps to prevent cholesterol oxidation. So if you have adequate vitamin E on board, it's going to prevent oxidation of that cholesterol. So you're going to have, that's one way that it can help to prevent atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. Now, I told you about the alpha and gamma and beta tocopherol, right? Well, vitamin E has other buddies that are similar to it, analogs, called tocotrienols. So if you're really trying to prevent cardiovascular disease, the main reason you're taking vitamin E is for cardiovascular disease, you want to have vitamin E on board that has tocotrienols in it, because they do a bunch of cool stuff. They prevent cell adhesion, so your platelets are not going to stick to the inside of your arteries as easily, and they also slow down production of cholesterol. And the way they do it, it reduces the activity of the actual HMG-CoA reductase, which is the enzyme that increases cholesterol synthesis. So tocotrienols slow that down, so you have a little less cholesterol.
So how do you know that what you're taking has the tocotrienols in it?
You look at the bottle.
Oh. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
All right, and it's something that's added into it?
No, if you have a really high-quality naturally extracted vitamin E, it'll have it in it. And most vitamin E that you buy, like if you just go buy vitamin E at your random store, often it will be synthetic and it will be DL alpha tocopherol. Sometimes you'll be able to get vitamin E with that's natural that has mixed tocopherols. It frequently will not have the tocotrienols. You usually have to get that special.
And the synthetic stuff has petroleum products in it.
Yeah, it often can have petroleum products in it. The other thing you have to watch out for with the synthetic vitamin E is that it'll be in poor quality oils, because vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin, so they'll sell it in possibly GMO non-organic oils like soybean, cottonseed, and canola oil. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's something to watch out for too. If you are buying any kind of a fat-soluble vitamin, and the fat-soluble vitamin is in corn, canola, or cottonseed or soybean oil, all of those products can be genetically modified. So if it doesn't say organic on it, you can be getting your product in a GMO oil. So that's why it's better to get it organic. It's better to get the natural vitamin E that's going to be with the mixed tocopherols. If you're taking your vitamin E because you have cardiovascular disease, you're better off getting with the tocotrienols.
And the E is actually coming from the vitamin E that you're taking as a supplement is actually coming from what?
It's going to be extracted probably from soybeans, but it's going to be extracted from some plant.
It's an oil-based product.
Then. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin, so it's going to be extracted because vitamin E is found in nuts and seeds. So it's going to be probably, if you're going to get it expensively, hopefully it's going to be from organic soybeans or it's going to be from organic sunflower seeds because sunflower seeds are dime a dozen.
So if you're looking to get a higher dose of vitamin E in your body, then you just eat more nuts and seeds?
Nuts and seeds is one way to do it. But what I want to do first, before I tell you where to get your vitamin E, is talk about the conditions that help vitamin E, that vitamin E can help.
Sure.
So vitamin E is helpful, like we said. So we just talked about cardiovascular disease and the best form, if you have cardiovascular disease, to get the stuff with the tocotrienols. So when you're looking at your immune system, free radicals can lead to heart disease and cancer. We talked about vitamin E reduces oxidative damage. Mm-hmm. And so when you reduce oxidative damage, your immune system works a lot better. So the tocotrienols as well, if you have a big old immune system problem, so if you're just wanting basic immune support, you may be able to get away with just vitamin E with mixed tocopherols, but if you have an autoimmune condition or you have cancer or you have a lot of arthritis or something like that, you might want to look into the tocotrienols, that they're going to be better. So skin. People like to have nice skin. They like to have, they like to not have wrinkles. But remember that one of the things that gives you wrinkles and oxidative damage is sugar. Sugar gives you wrinkles.
And stress.
Yes, stress is going to give you wrinkles too. And how it's going to do that, one of the ways that stress gives you wrinkles is sugar.
Yeah.
Not because you're eating more sugar. Well, you might eat more sugar if you have stress, but because when you are under stress, your cortisol puts more sugar into your blood so that you have energy to fight your stress, whatever it is. And if you're not going and exercising and eating up that sugar with your exercise, it's going to be floating around in your blood and it's going to be there the way sugar messes your skin up is because it glycates. The sugar attaches to the protein molecules in your skin, makes it so that the proteins are not supple and slippery and soft. And so they harden and the collagen becomes more brittle and it breaks down. And so then you get wrinkles.
My mom used to say she got wrinkles from having kids.
Should stress. Yeah.
Wrinkles and gray hair.
And she made those nice chocolate chip cookies for you.
She did. Yeah. Oh, those were good.
I should make some chocolate chip cookies.
You know why they're so much better than everybody else's chocolate chip cookies?
Butter. I know.
She made them with butter.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll make some. I would love to make some gluten-free oatmeal chocolate chip cookies for the race this weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Set a few aside so I can actually have some.
Oh, no problem. I mean, those get eaten.
Yeah, they do.
All right. So anyway, vitamin E along with vitamin C side by side can help all kinds of skin stuff. Even if you smoke, which you shouldn't, but if you do, you're causing lots of oxidative damage with the smoking. So your vitamin C and vitamin E together can help to reduce skin damage from smoking. It can only do so much. I mean, the thing is, if you're going to lie down in the middle of the road and let a car hit you and then say to me, how can I heal I'm lying down under a car. How can I reduce my damage? Well, it would really be better if you didn't lie down under the car. But if you're going to do that, okay, I'll give you a bunch of arnica. But really, you shouldn't lie down to get hit by the car. So not a good idea to smoke because smoke is like oxidative damage central. So if you have acne or eczema or psoriasis or sunburn, or even you're trying to prevent skin cancer, even if you already have it. It can help with cell regeneration. It can be used to treat scars. It can be used topically as well as internally. And I would recommend both if you have, if you have a skin condition. It can be really helpful. Makes your hair nice. It'll thicken it up. It helps decrease environmental damage to your hair. So your actual hair, once it's damaged pretty much. But as it's growing out, if you consume more vitamin E, your hair, you'll have a better you have a better time with your hair. So having a shampoo with vitamin E in it is not a bad idea, because you're going to be applying the vitamin E directly to your scalp. And if your scalp doesn't have, or if you have a shampoo that you love but it doesn't happen to have vitamin E in it, put some in. You can take your pills and squeeze them in. You can squeeze, you know, two or three vitamin E pills. Better, again, don't use the synthetic. It's a good idea to use the natural. And just squeeze them into your shampoo product, and then you'll be putting vitamin E directly onto your hair. You know, three or four caps would probably be just fine. If you have straight-up vitamin E oil, vitamin E increases circulation to your scalp, so you can take actual vitamin E oil and use it as a scalp treatment. You know, so if you feel like, you know, you can just take the vitamin E oil and just rub it into your scalp, and it makes your scalp nice. And like I said, you could throw it into your shampoo as well. Very nice. Vitamin E is a hormone balancer. It helps your nervous system and your endocrine system. Vitamin E, because it's fat soluble. Did you know that you're a fathead? Ron, you're a fathead.
Yeah, thanks. I've been called worse.
And all of you listening to me, you're all fatheads.
Oh, that's nice. Yes, that'll attract a large crowd.
I know. But I think
it's a compliment.
I think the orange man is not a fathead, and that's actually an insult. Okay, why am I calling you a fathead? It's not a bad thing. You want to be a fathead.
Because my brain has lots of fat in it.
And the more fat it has, the better off you are, as long as it's healthy fat. So DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, is really good for brain health. It helps you to have healthy cell membranes. The cell membranes in your brain are full of healthy fat. So having good proportions of DHA and EPA are going to make you smarter, and it'll make your brain function better and your nervous system.
Fat heads of the world unite.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to me and you're a fathead, that's a good thing.
Right.
So and you want to remain a fathead, perhaps you even want to enhance your fatheadedness. Vitamin E prevents breakdown of the fat in your head, and it prevents oxidative damage to that fat.
Well,
so
then
it's very good for you.
All right.
So meanwhile, also vitamin E helps to balance hormones. Vitamin E will bond to estrogen receptors and stimulate them. It's not estrogen. It's not really a phytoestrogen, but it's one of the things you can take to make your menopause happier. I haven't done this in a long time, but it's one of the things that I give, that you can give to women when they're having hot flashes. And I should listen to this myself. But we give high doses of vitamin E to menopausal women. Sometimes it can shut down their hot flashes. It's very nice. So because it will stimulate estrogen receptors, it can help PMS. It even can help with menopausal weight gain. Just such a simple thing. It can help with allergies, urinary tract infections. There's a whole bunch of things that it can do. So if you're in menopause, or you have PMS, or you have any other kind of hormonal imbalance, it can be a very sweet and easy way to manage your hormonal status. And it directly can help PMS symptoms. If you take some vitamin E a little bit before PMS time, you might have less symptoms. It's very nice, and keep your menstrual cycle. Well, we'll include it in formulas that help to regulate your menses. It's one of the vitamins that helps to prevent and treat macular degeneration.
I see that.
So if your macula is already degenerated, you may not be able to get it back, but you might be able to get a little of it back. But there was a big study that they did where they looked at ACEs, ACE and zinc, that all of those, and even vitamin A and or beta carotene. Beta carotene is the precursor to vitamin A, and vitamin A is part of your rhodopsin. Rhodopsin is the chemical that's in the cones. No, I'm sorry. It's in the rods of your eye and helps you to see grayscale. Helps you to see light and dark. And so you need vitamin A to be able to see, and you need vitamin A for night vision. Vitamin A and beta carotene. If you convert your beta carotene well to vitamin A, you'll have good night vision. So vitamin E is one of the antioxidants that can help with macular degeneration. It's E along with C, carotenoids and zinc.
Right. It says in order to keep in mind, in order for vitamin E to be effective for vision, it must also be consumed with adequate intakes of vitamin C, beta carotene, and zinc.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. It helps to protect against the, and this is where you need those tocotrienols. That vitamin E can slow down degeneration in Alzheimer's disease. So those tocotrienols. The interesting thing about Alzheimer's is there's a thought that there's studies going on that suggest that Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. So so one of the things you see in Alzheimer's, so type 3 diabetes, meaning that you're getting glycation in the brain, meaning that sugar is getting into the brain and the sugar is attaching to the proteins in the nerve cells and rendering them less or non-functional.
So that makes it more of a blood-oriented problem, is that right?
Well, it's blood sugar in the brain and perhaps sugar in the cerebrospinal fluid. Not necessarily blood sugar, but sugar, just sugar.
Okay.
That if your sugar's too high in your brain, you're going to get glycation. Glycation meaning that sugar is going to attach to the proteins in the nerve cells and render them less functional, just like they attach to your skin and give you wrinkles. Well, they attach to the nerve cells in your brain and render the nerve cells less functional. So vitamin E, especially if you take it with vitamin C, can help with dementia and can help to slow down neurodegeneration. Certainly can lower cancer risk and help, and it can also enhance the effectiveness for a lot of chemotherapy. Now, you have to look up, there are studies on specific chemotherapeutic agents and whether vitamin E and tocotrienols can assist or hinder those chemotherapeutic agents. But a lot of times you'll go to the oncologist and the oncologist will tell you, don't take any antioxidants because what we're trying to do with your chemotherapy and radiation is we are trying to cause oxidative damage to your cancer cells. But there are studies that show that various antioxidants, including vitamin E, specifically can enhance the effectiveness of specific cancer treatments like radiation and specific chemotherapeutic agents. So you have to look up the specific chemotherapeutic agent you're being given to see if vitamin E is helpful for that one. But also vitamin E in general, I don't agree with the practice of preventing someone who's taking radiation from taking antioxidants. Again, if you expect arnica to fix the fact that you got knocked down in the road and got run over by a car, arnica's going to have a hard time fixing that. You can't take arnica and expect all your problems to go away after you lay down and get hit by a car. So this is the analogy I give with antioxidants and radiation. If you take a carrot, now carrot is full of beta carotene. It's really, really high in antioxidants. Beta carotene and mixed carotenoids, probably your best source of beta carotene, you know, carrots. All right. If you took a carrot and you set it on fire at very high heat, what do you think would happen to the carrot?
It would cook.
And if you cooked it too high, would it burn?
Yeah.
Of course. Can you set a carrot on fire?
You can set a lot of things on fire.
Yes, you can set a carrot on fire. Mm-hmm. So, if you set something on fire, you're directing fire directly to the carrot. Is the carrot going to be prevented from burning by its beta carotene? I'm going to go with no.
No.
You can set a carrot on fire. You can overcook a carrot and you can cook the carrot so long that it'll burn, right?
Right.
All right. So if you take a radiation beam and you point it directly to some skin, and that skin is replete with vitamin E, what do you think is going to happen to that skin if you point a radiation beam right at the skin?
If you're going to burn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So did the vitamin E that's in the skin prevent the skin from burning?
I would think so.
No.
No, it won't. Huh?
No, not,
doesn't help
not,
at all.
Not at the spot where you directed the beam of radiation.
Oh,
so,
right, right.
So if you have targeted radiation and you want to target a tumor, even if the tumor has vitamin E on board, you're still going to fry the tumor if you're directing the radiation beam right at the tumor.
Okay, I see where you're going.
What's going to be spared is the tissue around it. So you know how people get radiation burns when they get cancer radiation treatments?
Mm-hmm.
And so what will happen is you're going to get a nice effect. Your radiation is going to go right for the director because they have ways of just really micro-focusing radiation beams
spot
now.
Focused, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you're going to – whatever's in front of it is going to fry. But if you are replete with antioxidants in the surrounding tissue, that's going to be spared, and that's a good thing. So you're going to have less damage. So so there are various places in your body where you really don't want to have oxidative damage. One place I'm thinking of is the mouth when people get oral cancers. So they have to point a radiation beam at an oral cancer, at a person's tongue or somewhere in their mouth. Well, yeah, and then the poor person winds up getting collateral damage, and they'll get, you know, they'll have impairment to their taste. And they'll have impairment to their saliva. They'll have dry mouth.
Ew.
Right. Mm. And so if they're replete with antioxidants when they're getting the radiation, you're going to get less of that. So I don't agree with the practice. Unless there's really good studies that show that the antioxidants are going to hinder the treatment, that's not what the studies show. The studies show that antioxidants are beneficial. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you don't want to just go and take a bunch of antioxidants if you're undergoing cancer treatment. You do want to talk with a good naturopathic physician who will work in tandem with your oncologist and make sure you have good studies to present that say that for whatever specific treatment you're getting, that the antioxidants are not going to hinder that treatment. Because, you know, if you're going to do biomedical treatments, you want them to work. And the whole point of doing natural medicine is that you want to have an integrative approach. You want to use the best of science and nature. I'm not someone who believes that you should never do biomedicine. I think medicine is just medicine. It's one thing. I just get upset when we as natural medicine practitioners get crowded out and we get told things like your medicine is not evidence-based. And I have two contentions with that. One is that there are loads of studies on all kinds of natural medicine, vitamin E. I mean, the things I'm telling you right now are based on studies. So there's loads of studies on specific natural medicine items, whether it's antioxidants or herbs or specific diets that show you that these natural medicine items do help with specific conditions and specific situations. And so that's one thing. Natural medicine is evidence-based. The other thing is the idea that that you should only ever do evidence-based medicine, because I will tell you right now, any practitioner of any kind, whether you're an MD, whether you're a naturopath, whether you're an osteopath, whether you're a cardiologist or a family practice doctor, whether you're a naturopathic physician that specializes in general care or a naturopathic physician that specializes in gynecology or cardiovascular disease, you're not going to only do evidence-based medicine. What I mean by that is if someone comes in and they have a condition and you have a wonderful success with a particular treatment with that person, that's an N of one. So that one person got better from that. And then someone walks in with the same condition, you're going to try it with that next person. It's sort of evidence-based, but it's not from a study. It's from you observed that this person did really well with this specific treatment. So the next person comes in with the same condition, you're going to do it again. And if it works again, you're going to do it a bunch of times. That's not exactly evidence-based. I mean, the evidence-based is what we call anecdotal, because you're just watching your patients come in. You're doing it from clinical experience, which isn't exactly evidence-based medicine. But if you're going to tell me that, you know, family practice doctors, MDs, and osteopaths don't do that, not only would that be ridiculous, but they would be silly not to. It is, when you practice medicine, medicine is not just a science. It is also an art. It's an art of communication. I mean, that is the biggest thing that we do with our patients, is we communicate with them. And you have to communicate with your patients in ways that they can understand and ways where they're going to be a customer and they're going to want to do what you suggest to them so that they can be happy and healthy. And that should be your goal. The health and happiness of your patients. I mean, that's my chief goal. I want for my patients whatever is going to make them happy and healthy. And if that means sending them to a different practitioner, I do that, you know? And the thing is, when you will do whatever for your patients to help them to be happy and healthy, you have a good practice, because then they feel respected, they feel heard, and they trust you. And that's a big thing. And it's very I'm very honored when people trust me, but it's kind of nerve-wracking because you feel like you have to do right by them and you don't want to screw up. But I care more, quite honestly, I care more about your happiness and health than I do about whether you trust me. You don't have to trust me because it's like, go ahead, be a skeptic. But and you don't, and also if you don't want to do what I say, don't. You don't have to. I'm just the messenger. I have a lot of knowledge about
You're
natural
the guide.
Medicine.
Right.
I have loads of knowledge about natural medicine. I have some knowledge about you because you're sitting in front of me, but you have way more knowledge about you, what you like to do, what you're willing to do. And I'm not going to stop you from doing something you want to do or not stop you or you know, make you do something you don't want to do. All I am, I'm a messenger and a guide, like you said. And sometimes people want to see me as more than that. They want to see me as an authority and as someone who's telling them what to do and that they have to do it. But that's not really what I am.
I refer to you as the wizard.
Yeah, well, I'm not really. I'm a girl, so I'm kind of a witch, you know.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're going to go that route.
I know, but I refer to you as the wizard.
In the tradition of the ancient witches, I'm more of a witch than a wizard, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, and so...
I could open a can of worms, though, to your naturopathic practice. Not really
it's
good.
True, but I mean, if you're going to go there, the tradition of Wicca is the wisdom of the wise woman. And you know, I'm a crone. I'm in menopause. So I'm a crone now. Do I look like a crone?
I don't know.
But I'm a crone.
I don't really understand the whole crone thing.
The positive reimagining of the crone in women's tradition is that a crone is a wise woman. We are older and we have been on the planet a long time. So we have more knowledge than someone who's 25.
Oh, you're a wise woman. All right.
All right. So that makes a wise woman. That's in that tradition. That's where I'm using the word witch.
Okay.
So in terms of whether I practice Wicca or paganism, you know, I shout out to all spiritual practices that make people happy and healthy and will even hang out in those traditions. I consider myself to be Jewish.
Yeah.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Oh, I have noticed.
I like being Jewish. And I'm my own brand of Jewish, but I'm definitely Jewish. You know,
yeah.
It's good to be Jewish.
Yeah.
I like
it's
it.
It's good to be you.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's
good.
It's okay.
It's hard work to be me.
It is.
It's a lot of work. It's exhausting.
I know. I'm around you a lot more than you realize, you know.
Yeah. And you know, I need more sleep. I like sleep.
You need to get home earlier at night because that last night was very upsetting.
I can make that happen. I know. All right. What else can vitamin E do for me? Vitamin E can improve your physical endurance and muscle strength. Yes. Why the heck might it do that? I don't know, because it helps to reduce oxidative stress on your muscles. So if you have adequate vitamin E, you're going to reduce your muscle fatigue. You're going to promote circulation, strengthen your capillary walls, nourish your cells. It's really a great thing. It's also critical during pregnancy and for proper development in utero. And so you're going to need that more when the baby is undergoing neurological development. So here's the foods that vitamin E is high in. Sunflower seeds. So that's what I'm saying. Sunflower seeds and almonds. I probably have a lot of vitamin E going on because I eat a lot of almonds. So vitamin E is found high in sunflower seeds and almonds are the two nut seed products that they are highest in. And that's why natural vitamin E is often extracted from sunflower seeds. And sunflower seeds are inexpensive and, you know, they are they're easy to grow and they have a long growing season. I mean, we always look at Buttonwood Farms and Buttonwood Farms, you know, they let the cows trample the sunflower seeds on at the end of July or the beginning of August. But this growing season is longer than that. You know, there's other places you can go look at sunflowers where they don't let the cows trample the sunflowers. But sunflower seeds, if you want to have a nice food source of vitamin E and you're not allergic to sunflower seeds, you can eat sunflower seeds and sunflower seed butter, which I love. Yum, yum, yum.
Yes, you do.
I brought some home the other day. You can get sunflower seed butter cups as opposed, you know, like how you can get peanut butter cups, chocolate peanut butter cups. You can get sunflower butter cups.
You've purchased those for
super
me.
Delicious.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
I've had them.
I know. Sunflower seed and butter. You would think sunflower and seed and chocolate. And also, I've had sunflower butter chocolate brownies. Oh, yeah.
I'm getting hungry.
Okay. So so maybe I should bake some for the race. All right.
You can bake some for normal.
Okay.
That's good too.
Yeah, I know. So almonds, we said too. Getting down the list is hazelnuts. Hazelnuts don't have as much vitamin E per unit volume as sunflower seeds and almonds, but they have a bunch. Wheat germ, if you're not gluten intolerant, I don't recommend wheat germ because I'm not big on people eating wheat. And the thing with wheat germ, you really have to keep it in the fridge and keep it cold because it can oxidize easily. And I'm not a huge fan because of the whole wheat thing. So then you get into some fruits. Mangoes and avocados have a bunch of vitamin E in it, per unit volume and for the amount that you eat. So the interesting thing is nuts and seeds are your highest level, have more vitamin E per unit volume and for the amount that you would ordinarily eat than probably anything else. But you're going to get a little bit from things like mangoes, avocados, broccoli, spinach, kiwis, and tomatoes. But I'm wondering if one of the reasons that some of the fruits that you eat are going to have more vitamin E is because you eat the seeds.
Hmm.
So your strawberries, you're going to eat the seeds.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
right.
Kiwi fruits, you're eating the seeds.
Sure.
Yeah, and so tomatoes as well, you're eating the seeds. Right, so we talked about the different types of vitamin E. And there are grains that have vitamin E. So other oils, rice oil, palm oil, peanuts, pecans, and walnuts. So any nuts and seeds you're going to get some vitamin E from. You want to just make sure your nuts and seeds are not oxidized. If you ever smell an oil or taste an oil and it tastes bitter, that means it's rancid. That means that there's been oxidative damage to the oils, and they're not good for you. And so kale has some vitamin E in it as well. So there's lots of ways to get it from your food. And then if you're going to take a supplement, depending on whether you have a marked need for the tocotrienols, which you're going to need if you have a marked immune problem, the more serious your condition is, the more likely you're going to want to have tocotrienols. So autoimmune conditions, cancer, and certainly cardiovascular disease, you're going to want a natural vitamin E that has mixed tocopherols and tocotrienols in it. And so, that's all I have to say about that.
So vitamin E, eat your nuts and seeds.
Yeah, as long as you're not allergic to them.
Right.
And if you're allergic to them, you can get them in other ways. All right, so you've been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath. This is a call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I am a naturopathic physician, and I'm here with Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call in at any time. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com at any time. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at www.whus.org. Go to the talk header and click on Radio Naturopath. You can also check out my Facebook page, Fran Storch ND, Naturopathic Physician, Radio Naturopath, also on Twitter and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. And we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM.